I have rights. We have rights. We all have rights. Christians have rights. And we as Americans, we know about rights. We love our rights. And it's great. It's wonderful that we have rights. And in two of our major documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution with the Bill of Rights, it has discovered many human rights. And I say identified and discovered many human rights because we didn't invent these rights. It's not that these rights were something that we said, well, I think everyone should be entitled to ice cream on Tuesdays. You guys think that? Yeah, ice cream on Tuesdays, everyone, right? That would be inventing a right, but we didn't invent, or like, oh, I think we should have the right to fully lay down on our airline seat. Every single seat should be able to fully recline if it's a longer than 2-hour trip so that I can sleep. That's a right. If we made that up, if we put that in the Bill of Rights, that would be inventing a right. These are rights that we've discovered that are innate to human dignity because we've been made in the image of God. And go ahead and throw this one up here, Megan. By the way, Megan is going off to college next week, and Megan has been awesome serving in our children's ministry and back here with the media team. So if you happen to see Megan, be sure to thank her for all the years of service that she's done. Anyway, so Declaration of Independence says, this is not the entirety of the document, says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, we didn't invent them, that all men, meaning all people, are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator, this is who it comes with, certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We know this, right? These are rights. We have the right to live. You can't take my life away from me. That's not right. Liberty. I can live in freedom and the pursuit of happiness. Not that definitely you're going to have it, but I can pursue it within my life however I think I can find it. And they said, we've discovered that this is inalienable human rights. This is part of human dignity. This is part of the rights that God has given us. Rights are good. What other rights are in the Constitution? Go ahead and we'll bullet point. These aren't all of them. Here are some. Freedom of speech. We love freedom of speech, right? Thank goodness for Twitter and Facebook. I say whatever I want. And press. Freedom of the press. We need a free press. Freedom of assembly. No one ever talks about that one, but that's one of the super important ones. That's the one that says, yeah, you can gather as a church or as a political organization or as a bocce ball tournament club, whatever. You have the freedom to associate with whoever you want to. And actually, this is a side note, not what the message is on. Zoning regulations seem to be pushing back against this, right? Zone for everything except for assembly. Wait a minute, what about the freedom of assembly? No one talks about it. It's forgotten about, but we need it. That was my soapbox. I'm sorry. Freedom of religion. Super important. It's called the first freedom. Why? Because it means that you have the right to have a conscience. This is important even for atheists because it says that the government is not the highest moral authority in the land. For Christians, we know that it's God is the highest moral authority. But even if you're an atheist, the freedom of religion is important because it says that we can't force you to violate your conscience and what you think is right and wrong. It's called the first right. It's important for everyone, regardless of whether you believe in God or not. Right to bear arms is in there, which again, cheesy dad joke, bear arms. Okay. Right to be free from unreasonable search and seizures. Right against self-incrimination and double jeopardy. Right to the due process. Right to a speedy and public trial. Problematic right there. The speedy part, right? You have the right... with this prohibition against cruel and unusual punishment, right? So, you children, when your parents force you to eat that asparagus you don't want to say, this is cruel and unusual. No, it's not cruel. It might be unusual, but it has to be both to count as cruel and unusual. These are rights. We love our rights, and you can take this down. And rights are important, and rights are worth fighting for, and rights are worth standing up for, and rights are worth... doing whatever you can in order to hold on to them. No government has the right to take them away. No individual has the right to take them away. No institution has the right to take them away. Why should we give up our rights? We should never give up our rights, right? Why should we give up our rights? And as we turn and continue with Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, we discover that that's exactly what Paul does. He willingly gives up some of his God-given rights. For what purpose? Why should we give up rights? We should never give up rights. Why should we allow rights to go on the wayside? Why should we give them up? Read along with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Paul says, am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus, our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If I am not an apostle to others, at least I am to you, because you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. By the way, so there's a group of people in Corinth who are saying, he's not really an apostle. He's not really an apostle. Not like Peter and James and all those other apostles. Paul, he's not really an apostle. So he's making his defense. Verse 3, my defense to those who examine me in this. Don't we have the right to eat and drink? Don't we have the right to be accompanied by a believing wife like the other apostles, the Lord's brother and Cephas, that's Peter? Or do only Barnabas and I have no right to refrain from working? Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its fruit? Or who shepherds a flock and does not drink the milk from the flock? Am I saying this from a human perspective? Doesn't the law also say the same thing? For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it treads out grain. Is God really concerned about oxen? Isn't he really saying it for our sake? Yes, it is written for our sake, because he who plows ought to plow in hope, and he who threshes should thresh in hope of sharing the crop. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it too much if we reap material benefits from you? If others have this right to receive benefits from you, don't we even more? Nevertheless, we have not made use of this right. Indeed, we endure everything so that we will not hinder the gospel of Christ. Don't you know that those who perform the temple services eat the food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in the offerings of the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded, those who preach the gospel should earn their living by the gospel. For my part, I've used none of these rights, nor have I written these things that they may be applied in my case. For it would be better for me to die than for anyone to deprive me of my boast. For if I preach the gospel, I have no reason to boast, because I'm compelled to preach, and woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward, but if unwillingly, I am entrusted with a commission. What then is my reward? To preach the gospel and offer it free of charge and not make full use of my rights in the gospel. Okay, so what's happening here is Paul is not taking a salary. The church is saying, hey, we want to pay you for your service as an apostle. He's preaching to them, he's discipling them, and they see the value of it. They want to pay him, and he's saying, no, I don't want to take it. So some people in the church are saying, well, maybe he's not really an apostle. Like, it's kind of like, you know, if you hire a plumber over to your house, you pay the plumber, the licensed plumber, to do the work. But if your buddy comes over and says, hey, I don't have to take care of that, right? And then they start working on it and stuff. Like you're not really paying them because they don't really know what they're doing sometimes, right? They're just freelancing it. They're just figuring out. They're like, I can YouTube it, okay? I know how to YouTube it too. But they're saying he's not really an apostle. He's not one who is sent by God. That's what apostle means, one sent by God under the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And they're saying maybe he's not receiving this because he's not really an apostle. And Paul's saying, no, of course I am. I've discipled you. I've planted this church. I've been here all the time preaching to you, teaching you the gospel, making disciples of Jesus Christ. You've seen us work, and I've refused none of my rights. He says, I haven't even, all the other apostles, when they come to visit you, they bring their wives, you feed them, you clothe them, you give them money. I've got nothing. I haven't taken any of these things, and yet you're saying that I'm not an apostle? By the way, interesting thing here, Paul says, I don't bring a believing wife with me. We don't really know with the apostle Paul. We have a few options. He could have been single his whole life. He might have been widowed. He might have been, his wife might have abandoned him. We simply don't have enough data to figure that out. My guess is he was married at some point, because otherwise he wouldn't have been a Pharisee. Jewish people were not very keen on single people. They were really put a question mark next to their character if you were single and of a certain age. So he would. I think he was probably married. So either his wife passed away, or maybe his wife abandoned him when he became a Christian, or something. I don't know. We don't have enough data for that. But he's not bringing anyone along with him, and he's working as a tent maker in order to supply for his daily needs. And the church is saying, we want to pay for you. And my guess is there's probably some rich patrons who are saying, we want to pay you so that you're in our pocket. And Paul says, no, I'm not going to do that. Now, what's interesting is in other churches, in other contexts, Paul does allow them to financially support him. And he says right here that the ministers of the gospel, he goes on through this very lengthy argument where he uses the law of Moses, don't muzzle an ox while it treads the grain. where he's basically saying, look, if a soldier goes to war, he has the right to be paid, right? He's not paying to go to war. When a farmer threshes his field, he can eat some of the food. He doesn't thresh it and then starve to death. We have all these rights. So he's saying in the same way, when a minister of the gospel preaches the word and makes disciples and disciples the church, they have the right to make their living off of the gospel. But he says, I'm not taking this. I have refused to take this so that nothing will hinder the gospel in his ministry. The whole purpose for him not accepting this right of his to accept food and financial support from the church in Corinth, he realizes in this context, in this situation, for him to demand or receive that right, it would hinder the gospel message. Whether it would inflame half of the church, whether it would force him to be in the pocket of the rich patrons who are in the church, or whether it would just seem unseemly because there are abuses in the church. For whatever reason, in that context, Paul says, I am foregoing my right. I will work as a tent maker, work all day long, teach you all night long. I will push myself to the point of exhaustion, but I won't claim my rights so that you can hear the gospel, so that people can know about Jesus Christ. Why should we, like Paul, sometimes not receive our rights? Why? So that people will be changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize we are living in a world where our neighbors are shackled in sin. We can't help but not sin. Just try to avoid sin. You can't avoid it. We all sin. Each and every one of us was born a sinner. And the Bible calls it slavery. We are enslaved to sin. We cannot help but not sin. And Jesus came to seek and save the lost, to set the prisoners free. In Christ alone, through his death, burial, and resurrection, we can be set free from sin so that we're no longer enslaved to sin. He gives us the power through God the Holy Spirit to stand up under the pressures of sin. He gives us the power under God the Holy Spirit to now go out and do righteous things in the name of God. He gives us power to do good that we would not be able to do on our own. We were born enslaved to sins. We have neighbors enslaved to sin. And Paul says there are times where it's important to cast off your rights, to forego your rights, your God-given rights, so that you might be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. There are times as a Christian where you and I are called to lay down our rights, our God-given rights. Some of them were up there on the screen, so that people can come to faith in Jesus Christ. Freedom of speech. I can say whatever I want to whomever I want, whenever I want, right? You have that right. But sometimes it's smart to shut your mouth. Or sometimes it's a good idea to be kind with your words instead of biting, so that you have the opportunity to share the love of Jesus Christ with others. Sometimes we have to put aside our rights so that we can see people changed by Jesus Christ. I mean, think about it like this. Why was Paul willing to do this? Well, if I was wealthy and I offered you, I said, hey, look, if you give up your freedom of speech, I'll pay you $1 million. Like, you got to filter everything through me. Some of you would take me up on that. If I said, hey, the American Constitution, right to bear arms, right? I'll give you $1 million to give up that right. Some of you are like, sold, I don't even have a gun, right? Like, others of you are like, no, out of my cold, dead, dying hands, right? But some of you would take me up on it. Others of you, if I say, oh, I've got $1 million, you give up your freedom of the press. And you're like, okay, what does that mean? I will tell you which news sources you can watch and which you can't. So you're like, I don't even like the news. So I'm cool, right? Like, give me the million. I don't watch the news now. I'm not watching or reading the news later. Sucker. So you could see mentally, there are some cases where you would say, yeah, the benefit of giving up a right it makes sense to give up the right so I can have the money. Or think about it like this. You, most of you have done this. You have a lot of things to do. and one of your family members' birthday's coming up, and you're at work and frantic, and the only time you have to go pick them up a gift is in the middle of lunch, right? But you're hungry, and you want to eat, right? Do you have the right to eat? Yes. Yes, you have the right to eat. You're all looking, I don't know, Pastor, where are you going with this? Why are you so scared of me? You have the right to sit down to your own time and to eat, right? And you have the right to eat. But because you love that family member so much, you might say, the only time I have is this 30 minutes or this 40 minutes or this hour to run out and go get them a present. And because I care about them so much, I won't eat anything. Maybe I'll grab something at the checkout line, but I won't eat anything good or healthy. It might taste good, but you know. Why do all the bad foods taste the best? That's what I want to know. You don't have time, but you love that individual so much that you sacrifice your right, your time, to take care of the other individual. Or think about it like this. Imagine you had a child, or imagine there was a family and they had a child who got very sick, very ill. It is like 24/7 care. The dad is exhausted. He is tired. He works constantly. And when he's not working for money, he is working for this child. And the child's condition is a rather obnoxious condition. So he's not sweet and cuddly. He's angry and violent. And after doing this for days, weeks, months, years, he's tired. In America, we have the right to pursue happiness. He's not happy. He's not happy. He's miserable. But the dad forgoes his right to pursue happiness to take care of his son. Why? Why? There are plenty of dads who wouldn't, and we all know stories. We probably all know individuals who have abandoned their families when things got hard. Why does the dad stay? Year in, year out, thankless day after thankless day. Why does he stay? Because of love. Because of love. So we understand as Christians, we give up our rights all the time in the pursuit of greater things. Paul gave up his right to receive financial remuneration for the hard work he was doing there for him, for the church, because he knew it would be a hindrance to the gospel. We as Christians, yes, you can claim your rights whenever you want to, and you can stand on your soapbox and say, these are my rights, and I can do this, and I can do whatever I want, and I've got freedom in Christ. Yes, you do, and yes, you can. But then you won't see people transformed by the gospel. You won't see God the Holy Spirit invade that person's life, break the shackles off their arms, free them from their slavery to sin, and see them walk in new life. You will never see that if you refuse to give up your rights in pursuit of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You never will. You never will. I know some of you are here and you're saying, well, wait a minute, Pastor. Are you saying that we're as Christians and we now have to be floor mats? That would... We have to give up all of our rights and we're treated like everyone's garbage all the time and people wipe their feet on us all the time. No, of course not. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what Paul's saying. Paul giving up his rights was situational. It takes wisdom. It takes prayer as you're walking with the Holy Spirit to say, when is it appropriate to keep my mouth shut? When is it appropriate to not force my rights and instead to show love? When is it important for me to give up my time and my money and my energy, which I have the right to use for myself and my purposes? When is it appropriate for me to give up those things to help others so that they might see the Lord Jesus Christ and be freed from their slavery to sin? It's situational. I go to Vietnam. You know, I get a salary here. Praise God. Thank you. I appreciate that. I could not do what I do nearly as much without having a salary here at the church. And so thank you for that. And Paul says, you know, every minister has that. But if that wasn't the case, if we couldn't afford it, it'd be wrong and terrible of me to demand it of you. When I go to Vietnam, and I go and I speak at these churches that have nothing, I don't go, all right, what's my honorarium? right? No, of course, I'm going there out of free will. You know, I'm not shaking them down. All right, we now need to pass the plate and take a special offering for the pastor here. That's not wrong to do. But in that context, it would be, because it would hinder to the gospel. And they'd say, we told you about these Americans. All they care about is money. No, I'm not taking a dime from you guys, because I want, not the pastors, understand, but I want their congregation to understand, who are maybe cynical about the gospel, cynical about church, because they have a government who tells them that the church is only interested in your money, who are cynical about Westerners or Americans or the Bible, to say, wow, this guy came and he just shared the word of God and loved us, and that was it. He didn't want anything. He asked me for a hug. That was weird. Culturally not appropriate. I learned that 4 years ago. We should give up our rights sometimes so that we can see people transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. My daughter was in a summer camp program at TCAPS, and one of her teachers told me that this happened. She went up to her teacher and said, how old are you? She's 6 years old, so it's a fairly rude question, but she doesn't know any better, or won't listen to me when I tell her it is. But she's six, right? So how old are you? The teacher says, I'm 50. My daughter says, wow, that's old. You're about to die. But don't worry. If you believe in Jesus, when you die, you get to go to heaven. And you're about to die soon. I mean, that's like... I'm simultaneously embarrassed and ashamed and just humbled and just proud as a parent that she would have the clarity of mind and the passion and just the matter of fact. It wasn't even like a passion that I have to do this. It was just like, hey, here's the facts. You're about to die and you need Jesus. So what you gonna do, right? Like, I wish I was there. I mean, Paul was there. I mean, that's just his passion was just like, you need Jesus. You're enslaved to your own sin. You need Christ to set you free. And Paul, my daughter is just like, hey, it's a matter of fact, this is what it is. I'm not like that. I'm like, oh, man, when's the best opportunity? I'm like treating it like a chess game, and I'm not very good at chess. And I'm like, oh, when's the best move, and when's the best opportunity, and how can I mess this up, and when should I speak, when should I not speak, and how should I, you know, is there someone, like if I'm in a store and I'm talking with people, should I wait until the customer leaves, or should I start proselytizing them too? What do I do here, right? Like, it's just so, Does anyone else, I mean, some of you are looking at me like, man, you are weird. Does anyone else do that? Like, you're just like over-strategizing this thing and you're like playing Stratego, or no, that one's not strategic enough. You're playing Risk, and you're just like, oh, what do I do? And I'm going to roll the dice and it's going to be the wrong number. It's just, it's like, we don't need to do that. Paul just says, look, just go and share the gospel. And sometimes you're going to need to give up your rights in order to do that. Temporarily, but you give up your rights. And there is a reward for Paul in eternity in the new heaven and the new earth. There is a reward for you and me in the new heaven and the new earth when we share the gospel. Even when the gospel is rejected, God still honors and rewards faithful service and still glorifies God when we share the gospel and it's rejected. So we give up our rights. You know, you have the freedom of speech. You can say whatever you want, whenever you want. But sometimes there's times where you have to say, well, look, hold on. I have to hold back and I can't say something right now because it might impede the gospel. It might impede my relationship with them, right? Like, oh, for example, oh, here we go. If you have a friend that you're evangelizing, you've been sharing the gospel with, and you know that anything from Fox News is the worst thing in the world and they hate it, guess what? You don't have to share news stories with them from Fox News. You have the right to. You could. But if that's going to just inflame them and make them angry and they won't listen, talk to you anymore, have a relationship with you, is it worth sharing a news story with them for Fox News? No. Right? It's not a trick question. No. The answer is no. Same thing, flip it with MSNBC, right? If you have a friend who's like, MSNBC, rah, I can't stand it, right? Like, and you're sharing the gospel with them, and right, don't share a news article with them if it's going to inflame them. It's not worth it. Yes, you have the right to do it, but you don't have to. Yes, you have the right to say whatever you want, but you don't have to. Not if it's a hindrance to the gospel. You can give up that right. so that you can see people come to faith in Jesus Christ. You have the right to your own time. I can't come and tell you what to do. I know some people think pastors are overbearing. I try hard not to be. Sometimes I am. I'm sorry. Beth. I look straight at her. I try not to be overbearing. But I can't demand you. I can't order you. You have the right to your own time. You can choose to work where you want to work. You don't have to work there. I mean, you might quit and not have a paycheck, and then that might have ramifications. So find a new job before you quit, right? But I don't have any demand on your time. You don't have any demand on my time. You have the right to your own time. But, I don't know, if there was an event coming up, something that was happening where you knew that children were going to hear the gospel, and then their parents, and you said, look, I don't want to do it. I'm tired. I don't like VBS. I'm exhausted. I've got things to do. I only have antenna, satellite TV. I can't DVR it and stop my favorite shows. I'll miss all the shows, and I won't know what happened, or whatever reason. That's board game night for me, right? I don't want to. I can't do it. Sometimes it's good to give up your rights, like all the volunteers who are doing it, and thank you for those of you who have already done so much and will continue to do next week and the week after. There's always cleanup. But you're doing it because you say, wait, there is an opportunity for me to share the gospel with people, young and old, and everything in between. I'm going to give up of my right to my own time so that the gospel might be heard. Even though it's tiring, even though it's hard, even though it's exhausting, even though I don't know what I'm doing with children, I'm going to do it so that the gospel might be heard and so that many more sons and daughters can come into the kingdom. Right? We have the right to our own money. You can do what you want to do with your own finances, right? I can't tell you what to do with your finances. You can't tell me what to do with my finances. You can't raid my bank account and say, well, Pastor, I think you shouldn't have been buying all those board games, or what's wrong with you? Well, look at how much money you're spending on comics, you heathen, right? You don't have any right to do that. I don't have any right to do that to you. But sometimes, I have the right to my own money. You have the right to your own money. But there are sometimes, there are events, or there are circumstances where, and I'm not just talking about church, I'm not just talking about tithing, although it applies to that too, but I'm not just talking about that. There are things happening in the community that you say, that is worthwhile, that will give me an opportunity to build community with people. Or there are events, or there are purposes, or nonprofits that have these opportunities to share the gospel, and you say, you know what, it's going to take a hit. I might not be able to remodel my bathroom. I might not be able to change the electrical switch that I was going to pay an electrician to do. I might not be able to buy that car I was hopefully saving up for, but this opportunity to share the gospel is worth it. So I'm going to sacrifice the right to my own money, and I'm going to free will give of those finances so that the gospel might be heard and that lives might be changed. We should give up our rights so that we can see people's lives changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. It's situational. It's situational. It's not every time. It's not in every circumstance. It calls for wisdom. If you don't know when to do it, maybe you should have a conversation with others. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:15, for my part, I have used none of these rights, nor have I written these things that they may be applied in my case. I love that because he's not being passive aggressive, right? I don't know where, I think I know where it's from. I think it's just the culture up here. But my kids are like, it sure would be nice if I had some fruit snacks now. Like, oh, come on, just say it. Give me some fruit. No, don't say it like that. Could I please have some fruit snacks? Right? Oh, it sure would be nice if someone gave me a hug. Really? Seriously? Why are you doing this? Just say, hey, can I have a hug, or just come hug me? Gosh. But Paul doesn't do that. He's like, well, I'm not. For my part, I've used none of these rights, and I haven't written this thing so they may be applied in my case. For it would be better for me to die than for anyone to be deprived of my boast. He's doing this so that no one will be hindered from hearing the gospel. Verse 12, we endure everything so that we will not hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. We give up our rights because the gospel is more important than our rights. The gospel is more important than our rights as we see the shackles fall off individuals. People who are formerly living in darkness have seen a great light. People who are can't help but sin and don't know that they're sinning because they've been blinded by sin and so deceived. We live in a world that is obsessed with running towards slavery to sin. They think it's a fashion accessory to put on the shackles of sin, and the bigger they are, they're, wow, look, this is cool. And we have an opportunity as Christians to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and give us freedom so that we no longer have to sin. And we can walk in light. The gospel is more important than our rights. Be wise. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this congregation. Thank you for so many here who have sacrificed so much time and energy to set up for VBS and spread the word. And for those here who have stuck their neck out and put themselves in awkward places, I pray, Lord, that this next week will be amazing, will be a blessing, that all of the turmoil, all of the strife, all the trials, all of the spiritual warfare, we will sit back at the end of the week and be amazed at what you have done through our small, measly offerings, our small, measly efforts. So, Lord, we take everything we do for VBS and Lord, just in our lives, we take our small gifts, the little things that we have, our little abilities, and we realize that you've called us to turn the world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we can't do that. That's too big. So take our little offerings, take our little gifts, take our little efforts, and add power to them. Add power to them through God the Holy Spirit. So that as we share the gospel in word and deed with our neighbors, they will hear the gospel and be transformed. Give us wisdom. Give us insight. May we not hold on to our rights stronger than we hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ. May we see many new brothers and sisters come to faith this week. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.